Hermione looked very shocked.
But you'll get into terrible trouble.
Not until Montague reappears, and that could take weeks. I don't know where we sent him, said Fred coolly. Anyway, we've decided we don't care about getting into trouble anymore.
Have you ever? Asked Hermione.
Course we have, said George. Never been expelled, have we?
We've always known where to draw the line, said Fred.
We might have put a toe across it occasionally, said George.
But we always stop short of causing real mayhem, said Fred.
But now? Said Ron tentatively.
Well, now, said George.
What with Dumbledore gone? Said Fred.
We reckon a bit of mayhem, said George.
Is exactly what our dear new head deserves, said Fred.
You mustn't,
whispered Hermione. You really mustn't. She'd love a reason to expel you.
You don't get it, Hermione, do you?
Said Fred, smiling at her.
We don't care about staying any more.
We'd walk out right now if we weren't determined to do our bit for Dumbledore first.
So, anyway,
he checked his watch.
Phase one is about to begin. I'd get in the Great Hall for lunch if I were you.
That way the teachers will see you can't have had anything to do with it.
Anything to do with what?
Said Hermione anxiously.
You'll see, said George. Run along now.
Fred and George turned away and disappeared in the swelling crowd descending the stairs toward lunch. Looking highly disconcerted, Ernie muttered something about unfinished transfiguration homework and scurried away.
I think we should get out of here, you know, said Hermione nervously. Just in case.
Yeah, all right,
said Ron, and the three of them moved toward the doors to the Great Hall. But Harry had barely glimpsed today's ceiling of scudding white clouds when somebody tapped him on the shoulder and, turning, he found himself almost nose to nose with Filch, the caretaker. He took several hasty steps backward. Filch was best viewed at a distance.
The headmistress would like to see you, Potter,
he leered. I didn't do it, said Harry stupidly, thinking of whatever Fred and George were planning. Filch's jowls wobbled with silent laughter.
Guilty conscience, eh?
He wheezed.
Follow me.
Harry glanced back at Ron and Hermione, who were both looking worried. He shrugged and followed Filch back into the entrance hall, against the tide of hungry students. Filch seemed to be in an extremely good mood. He hummed creakily under his breath as they climbed the marble staircase. As they reached the first landing, he said,
"Things are changing around here, Potter."
"I've noticed," said Harry coldly.
"Yes, I've been telling Dumbledore for years and years he's too soft with you all," said Filch, chuckling nastily. "You filthy little beast would never have dropped stink pellets if you'd known I had it in my power to whip you raw, would you now? Nobody would have thought of throwing fanged frisbees down the corridors if I could have strung you up by the ankles in my office, would they? But when Educational Decree 29 comes in, Potter, I'll be allowed to do them things. And she's asked the minister to sign an order for the expulsion of Peeves. Oh, things are going to be very different around here with her in charge."
Umbridge had obviously gone to some lengths to get Filch on her side, Harry thought, and the worst of it was that he would probably prove an important weapon. His knowledge of the school's secret passageways and hiding places was probably second only to the Weasley twins.
"Here we are,"
he said, leering down at Harry as he rapped three times upon Professor Umbridge's door and pushed it open.
"The Potter boy to see you, ma'am."
Umbridge's office, so very familiar to Harry from his many detentions, was the same as usual except for the large wooden block lying across the front of her desk, on which golden letters spelled the word Headmistress. Also his firebolt and Fred's and George's clean sweeps, which he saw with a pang, were now chained and padlocked to a stout iron peg in the wall behind the desk. Umbridge was sitting behind the desk, busily scribbling upon some of her pink parchment, but looked up and smiled widely at their entrance.
"Thank you, Argus,"
she said sweetly.
"Not at all, ma'am, not at all,"
said Filch, bowing as low as his rheumatism would permit, and exiting backward.
"Sit,"
said Umbridge curtly, pointing toward a chair, and Harry sat. She continued to scribble for a few moments. He watched some of the foul kittens gambolling around the plates over her head, wondering what fresh horror she had in store for him.
"Well, now,"
she said finally, setting down her quill and surveying him complacently like a toad about to swallow a particularly juicy fly.
"What would you like to drink?"
"What?" said Harry, quite sure he had misheard her.
to drink, Mr. Potter,"
she said, smiling still more widely.
"Tea? Coffee? Pumpkin juice?